Turn your Bibles, will, to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. I know thee by name. It's several messages that we preached, and we've taken a look at different characters in the Scriptures. Brother Lazarus and the call to life. And we took a look at Brother Zacchaeus and the call to abide in Christ. Took a look last Sunday about the apostles and the call to be a witness of our Lord's resurrection. And this morning we want to take a look at this man Saul. And see what our Lord has for us here. In verse number 54 of Acts chapter 7, Brother Stephen, one of the deacons of the church there at Jerusalem, he's found an opportunity to preach, and he's preaching to his countrymen, his brethren. They don't like his preaching, and you can read about that in this chapter. We're going to pick it up here at verse 54 and see the reaction and see about this man whose name is Saul. And when they heard these things, those that Stephen was preaching unto, they were cut to the heart. And that's what happens with men when there's no Spirit of the Lord at hand to work in hearts. I'm not talking about the Spirit being unable, the Spirit of God being unable in any way. It's just the Spirit did not work. And so the manifestation of God in Israel's history preached unto them plainly, bringing them to the understanding that Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Without the Spirit, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth, if you can imagine such a sight. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Oh, what a sight. Then they cried out with a loud voice. They wanted nothing of it, and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Our focus here is this morning is a character that we see in verse number 58. And cast him out. Okay, they cast Stephen out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses that made all that legal and just and right against Stephen, they laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And understand, if I remember correctly, in that of the Jews, when they went to stone someone, it was the witnesses that stood against, and it had to be more than one. At one witness's mouth, someone could not be put to death, but at two or more, they could be charged with a charge, and those witnesses were the ones to first cast the stones at him. And so that's the reason they're taking off their clothes to do this work, or some of their garment, their cloak and such as that, and laid them at Saul's feet. Let's pray. Father, we need your help this morning, and we pray that you would work and help us with your word. Help us to see, Father, what you have for us in your word about this man Saul. And Lord, we thank you that you know us by name. And we pray, Father, for those that are here and not saved, Lord, that you would call them and, Lord, save them. Lord, they might look unto you in repentance and faith. Lord, just work. Help Houston, Father. We desire your hand upon the little fellow, and we pray that you'd help him in healing. And you're able, and we pray that you'd work. Help now and speak to our hearts, Father. Remove every distraction. And Lord, help us to hear you and believe you and trust in all you say. We pray and ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. And amen. In chapter 9 of this book, we come over here and we see here about the work of Saul in Acts 9, verse number 1. "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired him letters to Damascus." This man's been at work. He's very zealous, as he says, his own words in the Jews' religion. And this putting these Christians, putting these ones of this way, as it says here in this passage, that is his work. That is his pursuit. And so he's found out and heard through the grapevine that there are those folks in Damascus. This church has been scattered. And in chapter 8, I didn't read this verse, but we need to read it. In verse number 1, "And Saul was consenting unto his death, unto Stephen's death. And at that time there was great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." And so this persecution has caused that church there in Jerusalem to scatter. The apostles have stayed there at Jerusalem, but many of the church, that first church, have gone out in the regions as it describes. Saul's about this persecution. No doubt he's not the only one, but he is a ringleader and one that is certainly involved with it. He's getting authority from the high priest and to get a letter of recommendation to this work of flushing out these people. Even as far as Damascus, which is to the northeast, a long way away, they're from Judea. And he seeks this, as it says in verse 2 of chapter 9, letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way of following this man Jesus, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem to try them. It goes on to say in verse number 3, "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. He was blind. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink." So we see Saul here, struck down by the Lord, by the brightness of the Lord and his appearing. He's a man that has fought against the Lord and worked against that of the Lord. He's saying to Saul, 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 why persecutest thou me? Now understand, Jesus is no longer on the earth in his body. He is no longer in the earth in that body in which he was born. He's ascended up to the Father, but the Lord says, why are you persecuting me, Saul? Why are you persecuting me? See, the Lord, understand, the Lord tells and declares in this that the persecution of his people and the persecution of him, his church, rather, is the persecuting of our Lord directly. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? We see Saul answering, Who art thou, Lord? And understand, Saul knows that he is met beyond his match. Saul has never had a match, if you will. He's never had one to stand against him. He's been perfect, if you will, in the following of Judaism and in this zeal he has against the Lord's church and the Lord's people, the Lord's work. But here he knows that he has met one that is beyond his match. This man is on the ground. It says he fell to the earth. And this man most likely would not get on the ground at all ever for any reason whatsoever. But he's hugging the ground. And he says, Who art thou, Lord? He knows that this one that has spoken unto him is greater, greater, greater than all he has ever known. I am Jesus. You know, the Lord Jesus just cuts to the chase with Saul, doesn't he? I am Jesus. I am the I am, Saul, and my name is Jesus. I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. This of the pricks that is mentioned here and said by our Lord, the kicking against them, this word pricks is talking about a point. It's talking about a sting or a goad. And I can't help but read this passage and not think about this in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And if you have your Bible, turn over here, read this for yourself. And you know what? This is a wonderful thing, and it's been the Lord working forever with man. I say forever, but with mankind from the beginning. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, there at the end of the book, Brother Solomon used of the Lord to write, in verse number 11, the words of the wise are as goads, or a prick, or a point, or a sharp sting. That's the way the words of the wise are. And who is the wisest? The most wise is our Lord, our God and our King. The words of the wise are as goads to you and me. Listen to what it says. And nails fastened by the masters of assemblies. The carpenter, the one that would build a chute or a way for a cattle to go. One that would build a funneling down so that a shepherd or a cattleman could tend to his cattle. There would be sharp objects placed that as the cattle would go, it would make them go where they need to go. And I tell you what, praise God for the goads and the pricks and the nails fastened by our Lord. See, Saul's been having something that's gnawing at him. It's been bugging him. It's been pricking his heart and pushing him and pressing him. I believe from the account of the scriptures and where we read from that time that he stood there watching Stephen being stoned to death and Stephen's faith in the Lord Jesus and steadfastness, the covetousness I believe that Saul had in regards to Stephen and the way that he died. Saul just thinking and seeing perhaps, I've got something, but I don't have what that man has. And these different saints that he has taken and given witness and counsel, we're going to see about him, his own testimony of such. I don't have what they have. I don't have faith like they have. I don't have grace like that to die in that way for such a cause as they. I don't. I've got religion. And I've got Judaism down, but I don't have that. And no doubt these brethren, as they were put to death or they were held or they would question, as the Lord did promise them, they gave an answer about the Lord Jesus, even out of the Old Testament scriptures, that no doubt in time Saul could not refute. The words of the wise are as goads. And as he heard those testimonies, heard those words, saw that steadfastness of the saints, those nails fastened by the master of assemblies that has a purpose, which are given from one shepherd. I tell you what, our Lord is the one that works in hearts. And I tell you what, he can take and he can prick a heart and work in a heart and turn a heart, and none is able to resist him and his will in such. And further by these, verse number 12, there in the first part, and further by these, my son, be admonished. The Lord Jesus does that with Saul, doesn't he? Saul's on his way up to Damascus. He's not been convicted yet, and back in Acts 9, but the Lord visits him and he says, why are you persecuting me, Saul? Said, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. You're persecuting me, son. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And this is the end of it. You know that my work is the truth. And I'm here to tell you and confirm to you, face to face, if you will, that that is the case. You can't kick against them anymore, can you, Saul? It's done. And you know, only our Lord knows what was going through this man's mind as he walked again from Jerusalem, heading up here to Damascus, mauling things over in his heart and his mind that he had heard these pricks, these goads, these nails that are fastened to guide him right down the line to Christ. He ends up after this confrontation with the Lord blind. He's blind. He's physically blind. He cannot see. They've led him into Damascus, those that traveled with him, by the hand, because he can not see. Remember, our subject and our consideration in the scriptures is I know thee by name. And our Lord has called this man's name, hadn't he? Our Lord has visited this man. Our Lord, if you will, in a righteous way, has been plaguing this man. In a right way, in a good way, and to the truth, by those goads and those pricks and those nails, taking him and steering him to what? We want to see that. We want to see that this morning. In Acts chapter 22, Saul we now know him as Paul. He's been used of the Lord greatly in a ministry to preach the gospel unto Jews and Gentiles alike. And he's come to Jerusalem, which the Lord showed him that he needed to go to Jerusalem and testify of the Lord Jesus and be there, to be there for what the Lord had for him. And the Lord has also told him, or will tell him, that he's going to go to Rome for his sake, for the Lord's sake. Paul is willing. No more kicking against the pricks. No more kicking against the leadership and the work and the knowledge, the instruction of the Lord. He's willing to be used in any way. He's here before the people in Jerusalem, and he has an occasion here in Acts chapter 22 and verse number 1 to preach. And you know what he does? He seizes it. He seizes this opportunity. Let's hear what he has to say. Acts 22, verse number 1, men, brethren, fathers, hear my defense, which I make now unto you. See, he's been accused of bringing some Gentiles into the temple, but he hadn't done that. That's not true. There's been such a ruckus about that and how the Jews were looking to kill him and have plans to try to kill him because of the witness and testimony that he's had for these decades, it seems. So the Roman government has got involved and they've kind of given him a defense and a standoff. And so now he's up here at the fortress of Antonia, if we understand right, kind of on a high place. And he asks if he can speak to the people. Men, brethren, fathers, hear my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he saith, I am verily a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers and with zealous towards God as ye all are this day. Verse 4, and I persecuted this way unto death, the way that I am walking in now, the way that I believe in and trust in, the way of our Lord Jesus now. Binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. So we hear more about the history of what he'd been doing there previous to that when the Lord visited him on his way to Damascus. As also the high priest doth bear me witness, you can go talk to him about it, and all the state of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. They'll tell you that that was my work. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell into the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? So he rehearses what we read in Acts 9. And I answered, who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed a light, the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. Because see, the Lord was speaking to Saul. He called Saul by name. Saul, Saul. You know, when the Lord visited us and we who are saved, understand, we did not hear the Lord audibly as our brother did. Because the time of the Lord's operation like that is past. But I tell you what, the Lord visiting us and speaking to us indeed was just as if he did. Because it's individual. It's right there at your address, right there at your soul, nobody else involved. The Lord did not say audibly, "Jim, Jim," to me. But I tell you what, I knew that he was pricking me, and I knew that he was goading me, and I knew that he was talking to me. And nobody else was involved. It was me, and it was him. And he was talking to me. He was doing the talking, wasn't he? They saw a light. They were afraid. They didn't hear the voice. Verse 10, "And I said, 'What shall I do, Lord?'" Submission. Submission. That's the way it is when the Lord visits sinners. Submission. Not rebellion. Not kicking. But yielding to the pricks. Yielding to the working of the Lord and the speaking of the Lord unto us about the truth. He said, "What shall I do, Lord?" And the Lord said unto me, "Arise and go into Damascus." This is a little bit more that we didn't read in Acts 9. "And there shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light," he was blind, "being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus." Verse 12, "And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law," pardon me, "having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, 'Brother Saul, receive thy sight.' And the same hour I looked upon him. And he said, 'The God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou shouldest,'" understand, 3 points for Brother Saul, "'that thou shouldest know his will.' Number 2, 'And see that the just one.' And number 3, 'Should hearest the voice of his mouth.' For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Is this speaking about baptismal salvation, regeneration, or such as that, the physical washing away of physical sins? No. No, this is the way that Ananias charged him. Be obedient to the Lord. He calls him Brother Saul because the Lord had Ananias appear unto him, and Ananias didn't want to go to Saul. Ananias knew Saul's reputation. You can read about that back in chapter 9. But the Lord told him, said, "I've saved him. He's a different man. He's a new man." That's the reason Ananias calls him brother. He's been saved by the Lord. That's the reason he was saved there on the road to Damascus. But he says, "Make this public declaration of what the Lord has done for you. Why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And it came to pass that he was come nigh to Jerusalem. So this is later on. And so he's telling this before those men, his countrymen there in Jerusalem. He said, "Early on after I was saved, and the first time I came back to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance and saw him," the Lord, "saying unto me, 'Make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me.'" Saul, it's too early for you to be here. It's too early for you to be here. And I said, "Lord, they know," verse number 19, "that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death and kept the raiment of them that slew him." Saul is saying, replying to the Lord, not in a brash way, but he's saying, "Lord, they know the change. They know what I did. And now I denounce all those things. Surely they will receive it." See, he's making an appeal there because, see, Paul wants to be a witness to everybody, especially his countrymen. He said, they know what I did. Jesus says, "Make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me." And I said, "Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death and kept the raiment of them that slew him." He said, Surely they'll see the change and it will be a witness to them. The Lord says to him, and he said unto me, verse 21, depart, for I will send thee afar hence unto the Gentiles. So here, much later in Saul's life, Paul, we now know him as, like I said, a couple decades, it seems. He rehearses what the Lord did in saving him and calling him there on the road to Damascus. And I want us to see what the emphasis is in the Lord calling him by name. Brother Ananias said it in verse number 14 of this passage in Acts 22. And he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one. Ananias told Saul to receive his sight, and his sight was restored somewhat. But we believe with the Apostle Paul and Saul, the Apostle Paul, one and the same, that there was something that he had with his vision that just never was right from Damascus. But understand in this account that Paul gives to his countrymen, is that the Lord called him by name that he might see Christ. He called him by name that he might see our Lord Jesus Christ. Not physical sight be regained. That was not the emphasis. Little was mentioned about our brother's physical sight restored, but I tell you what is mentioned indeed in the work that he is called unto is to know the Lord's will, to see the just one, which he did, and should hear the voice of his mouth and the calling that he has. I know thee by name. Saul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul, the call to see the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 26 of this book, we see later on where Paul is taken to Caesarea. He's appealed unto Caesar. And in chapter 26, he has this opportunity before Agrippa, Herod Agrippa, and the governor of Judea, to once again give his case and to tell about his purpose and these things that he's accused of in Jerusalem. And we want to see here again what the focus is. What the focus is about the Lord calling him by name. In chapter 26 and verse number 8, we pick it up here. Paul is standing before Agrippa and the governor, Felix. I get Festus and Felix mixed up. And he's there. He's permitted to speak. And it says, we'll pick it up in verse number 8. Paul says, why should it be thought a thing incredible with you, Agrippa, that God should raise the dead? See, that now that's become the subject, is that of the resurrection. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, and having received authority from the chief priest, and then they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. I was a witness against those children of God. The children of God had become expendable. They were the focus of the wrath of the Jews. And Saul was there as one of those, one in the forefront, getting this work accomplished and rounding these people up. Verse 11, and I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, you see what this man does? Every time he goes back to the beginning. He goes back to the beginning. Not to the beginning when he lost his sight and his sight was regained, but he goes back to the beginning where the Lord called his name and it was a call to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Not with physical eyes, but with the soul, with the heart, with the Spirit of God within. I was sent to Damascus. I went to Damascus, verse 12, with authority and commission from the chief priest. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. He said, I saw the light around all of us. Verse 14, and when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, a little bit more clarity, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. My pricks of your heart, my pricks of your soul, those nails fastened by the masters of assembly that's got a work and a plan for this man. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Listen, folks. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee. How is it that someone appears unto you? Here this morning, as we gathered together, you were not in the building, and then you came into the building. You came around the corner. I did as we came in, and we saw one another, didn't we? We didn't see one another, and then we saw one another. And what that usually leads to is that we greet one another. I've appeared to you. But Saul was blind. He was struck blind by the Lord. He was called to see Jesus, called by name to see Jesus for the Savior that Saul needed and the Savior that the Lord is. For I've appeared unto thee for this purpose. What's most important here, folks, is seeing Jesus. Seeing Jesus with the soul, with the heart, with that which is spiritual. For I've appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen. What is that he's seen? He's not seen Jesus hanging on the cross physically back in that day, as far as we know. But he's seen Jesus by his word, having been crucified, dying, buried, and risen again for him. If you're here and you're not saved, that's the same thing that you need to see. Not with your eyes, but with your soul, with your heart. Do you hear the Lord calling your name? Do you feel those pricks and those gouges, those goads, those nails fastened by the Lord? I pray you do. I'm praying for them for you. It's a thing that we, the children of God, cannot do for you, but we pray our Lord will do it for you. And you might hear his call to see Jesus with your heart and your soul as the Savior that you need. Arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things which I will appear unto thee. I'm going to show you more. I'm going to show you more, Saul. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. What's it say in verse 18? Do you see it? To open their eyes. You see what the focus is? The sinners might see the Lord. They might see the Lord as the standard that they cannot meet before God, condemned. And as Brother Doug's been teaching about the purpose of the law and what the law of God's all about, that there's the standard. Jesus is the standard. There's no way you can meet it. That you might see the Lord. You might see him as the Savior that you need. He's a faithful Savior. He's a Savior that's done all that's needed for the salvation of sinners. There's not one thing that Satan can find in the salvation of the Lord that lacks. And God himself, all-knowing, has taken care because of his justice that requires it, and his gloriousness and his perfectness, his righteousness, his holiness, every detail is completed and taken care of in the Lord Jesus Christ. To open their eyes, I pray that your eyes will be opened by our Lord. to open their eyes. See, Paul is rehearsing this, and the things that the Lord has told him that he's calling him to do while he's yet a blind man. The focus is not on him gaining his physical sight, but the focus is on the thing that he sees in Christ spiritually, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. That's how we see, is by the light, and from the power of Satan to God, from darkness to light, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance amongst them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Saul, I'm sending you to them to be a witness of the things that you've seen in me, that they may have faith in me too. Because it's in me. It's in seeing our Lord Jesus Christ. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed unto them of Damascus and Jerusalem, and so on. What? Latter part of verse 20. That they should repent and turn to God to see it. To see our Lord Jesus, and to do works meet for repentance. And so for that reason, the Jews sought to kill him. Saul of Tarsus, I know thee by name. The call to see the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to close with a couple verses. Brother Job really went through it, didn't he? Brother Job, it was time for him to grow up in the Lord. It was time for the glory of the Lord to be shown in him, the power of God. It was time for Brother Job to learn some things. I tell you what, if it costs our skin, we don't want to learn some things. Paul was brought to the point that he understood that it was going to cost his skin to learn some things, and he was more comfortable with that. He's a man just like you and me, but the Lord had brought him along. May our Lord bring us along and help us. But listen to what Brother Job says after the Lord has dealt with him and taught him and brought him through this great trial. Listen to what Brother Job says in verse number 5 of Job 42. Verse number 5. Job 42, verse number 5, last chapter of the book of Job. I have heard thee by the hearing of my ear. And that's what we preach to as the Lord's people and the Lord's church, the Lord's ministers, the Lord's children. We preach and we declare the gospel and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and his word, looking to hit the ear. Looking to hit the understanding. We know by the scriptures and by our Lord that from there on it takes the Lord. And we pray for that. That's the part of the seeing that the Lord's in charge of and that the Lord works, and we beg him to work on behalf of sinners. Listen to what Brother Job says. I've heard thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Was he talking about his physical eye? No. He's talking about that greater spiritual vision of the Lord and seeing the Lord in his operation. See, this whole thing, as the brothers brought out, this whole thing, this engagement of our Lord is by faith. Faith in him. Indeed, we have not seen the Lord Jesus and seen God with our physical eyes. But I tell you what, we do need to see him. Sound like a man talking out of both sides of your mouth, Brother Jim. I tell you what, we're dealing with the Lord here. Rather, he's dealing with us. Saul of Tarsus, the call to see the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 11, a verse here that wraps it up. Brother Moses, this honor roll of faith, Brother Moses is the subject. And we see this in kind, just like Brother Saul was called to do by those pricks and those goads and those nails. Brother Moses was the same way. In Hebrews 11, verse number 27, by faith Moses forsook Egypt. He forsook sin. He forsook the way of the world. He forsook self. Not fearing the wrath of the king, if you will, not fearing the wrath of the world, the wrath of his family, the wrath of whoever would stand against it upon his earth, on this earth. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. I know thee by name. Saul of Tarsus, the call to see the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that our Lord will work in the hearts of those that are here and not saved, that they might see Jesus. And praise God that he's caused us to see our Lord Jesus. He saved us. And he, if you're here and you're not saved, he can save you too. But I tell you what, don't kick against the pricks. Yield to the word of the Lord. Yield to those wise words. As Brother Solomon declared there in Ecclesiastes 12, yield to them. Yield to that admonition. Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.